What a blessing to live in this sweet land of liberty. Amen. You know, we should rejoice in that truth. And if you've never been out of the country, I'm sure you would be more thankful if you've been visit other countries where they don't have that freedom. I remember in the year 2002, my wife and I were able to go to China, and we spent a couple of weeks there in Beijing and some other cities around there. And you could feel the oppression there, and it was really strange that we could not openly share the gospel. We took a bunch of tracts with us. We hid them in our suitcase. I mean, we wasn't real deceitful about it. We just put it under some clothes and wrapped some things around it. But we took a lot of gospel tracts and by faith and trusted God to get us through customs without any problems of arrest or being deported or whatever. And we were able to do that. But I'll tell you, I was really nervous about it, really almost sweating bullets as we got off the airplane. And I told myself, you know, you need to look calm or they're going to pull you over. Customs going to stop us. But we made it through. And I remember as we were, we would be riding in taxis or wherever, I would just drop tracks here and there. But you know, it's sad. You just can't just openly give out the gospel. And so we need to rejoice that we have that liberty. And the sad thing is we don't often exercise our liberty to do so. I have a couple of scriptures I'd like to read as we begin tonight in Isaiah 61 in verse 1. And then we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17. Isaiah 61 and verse number 1. Here the prophet, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." I know that this was a prophecy of Jesus. When Jesus read this scripture in the synagogue in Nazareth in Luke chapter 4, he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." But I want to remind you of something that Jesus said, "As my Father had sent me, even so send I you." So even as the Lord himself was called to proclaim liberty to the captives, we as his people are given that call as well. We have been given the great commission to take the gospel, which frees men from their sin, which opens the prison to them that are bound. We have that wonderful privilege and opportunity to do that today in America without any fear of being arrested. And so let us obey this calling that God has given us. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 17. In 2 Corinthians 3, in verse 17. The scripture tells us, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." You know, true liberty is only found in the Lord, in knowing the Lord. And we have a wonderful privilege as Americans tomorrow to celebrate the independence of our nation from tyranny and government oppression. It is an honor that we often take for granted. In 2015, the governor of Louisiana, Bobby Jindal, he said, "The United States of America did not create religious liberty. Religious liberty created the United States of America." You know, religious liberty, I want to say that God is the author of it. I believe in the Bible we are given liberty by God to choose to worship Him, to choose to love Him, to choose to serve Him or not. We have that liberty. I believe, however, that this religious liberty we now enjoy in America is being gradually taken away piece by piece. And I want you to mark this down, that when we lose our religious liberty, we're going to lose every other freedom known to us today. I guarantee you that's the truth. I mean, when we went to China, they did not have religious liberty. Therefore, the people, they didn't have liberty. They were under oppression. They were under a dictator. They could not choose how many children they wanted to have. They were under bound by law. The law dictated how many children they could have. And so if we lose our religious liberty, we're going to lose all other freedoms that we know. And with this new world order that is coming, and even the scriptures predict this, and the globalists, that this globalist mindset that many of our politicians today have, I believe there will come a day that they're not going to tolerate Bible-believing Christians in America any longer. I mean, we're already seeing that to some extent today. You know, it's ironic that they preach tolerance, yet they will not tolerate truth to be proclaimed. That is why it's essential that we as Christians exercise our liberties to proclaim the gospel while we have the freedom to do so. For the day may come when it will cost us dearly to stand and to speak the truth. But I have a couple of questions I want to ask. And I want you to think carefully about these questions. Why do you suppose we as Americans enjoy religious liberty that other nations do not enjoy? Why would you think that is true? And another question would be, who won these liberties for us? Who won these liberties? These liberties we enjoy as Americans, religious liberty, freedom of speech. Who won these liberties for us as Americans? I know that many of you may be thinking right now, our U.S. Armed Forces. And I'm not saying this out of disrespect for our veterans that are here, but they did not win this liberty for us. They do protect this liberty. I want you to understand the difference. I'm talking about who won this liberty for us. The armed forces do protect our liberties. But they did not win these liberties. So who was it then? Who won these liberties for us? Well, we know ultimately God gives, He's the author of liberty, but that's not the answer I'm looking for either. I think the only way we can answer that question is to go back into history and read history of early colonial America and find out who won these liberties that we enjoy as Americans today. Well, guess what? I did that. I went and looked and did some reading about it. And I know some people will think that I'm bigoted when I say what I'm going to say. But you can read the history yourself if you want to. It's there. But I want to tell you, the men that won the liberties we enjoy, particularly religious liberty, is what I'm speaking of tonight, was Bible-believing Baptist men. That's the truth. I'm not saying that just because I'm a Baptist. But these early Baptists, they fought dearly for religious liberty in colonial America before the Declaration of Independence was ever declared. Very few Americans realized that it was the Baptists that influenced our nation's leaders to include religious liberty into our Bill of Rights. This liberty, it came at great cost to these men. And this religious liberty, it came over a long period of time. You know, in the earliest days of Christianity, you go back thousands plus years, even 2,000 years to when it was started, when Christianity started, the time of Christ, you will find that governments severely persecuted Christians. The Roman Empire persecuted those in the first century and the years to follow. Throughout the Middle Ages and the era of the Protestant Reformation, religious liberty was practically non-existent. I want you to think about that. Non-existent. Both the Roman Catholic and Protestant churches enlisted the aid of governments to persecute those who disagreed with their doctrines or who wouldn't submit to their authority, government. And by the way, I want to just say this, that we are not Protestant. Baptists are not Protestant. The Protestants were those that came out of the Catholic Church, that protested the Catholic Church. And every Protestant church started as a state church. And what I mean by that is that they did not separate church and state, but they were married together. The Church of England, for example. The Church of Germany. You know, the Church of England is the Anglican Church or the Episcopal Church, which later the Methodist Church came from. The Church of Germany is the Lutheran Church. The Church of Scotland, the Presbyterian Church. These churches, in their beginnings, they persecuted and they did not endorse or believe in religious liberty. I'm not talking about Presbyterians living in America today. I'm talking about back in history. They did not have religious liberty in those days. In England, there was a Baptist pastor by the name of Thomas Helwys. He lived from 1556 to 1616. He was credited with being the first Baptist pastor on English soil to challenge the king's claim to be authoritative in religious matters. Helwys, he wrote a booklet in 1612. If you are familiar with that date, 1611 is when the King James Bible was translated. But in 1612, he wrote a booklet called The Mystery of Iniquity. And he sent an autographed copy to King James with a personal inscription in which he declared this: "The king is a mortal man and not God. Therefore hath no power over immortal souls of his subjects to make laws and ordinances for them and to set spiritual lords over them." And for Helwys' brave declaration of Baptist conviction about religious liberty, he was thrown into prison where he died. He never got out of prison. He died in prison for the cause of religious liberty. Not just for the Baptists, but for all people. And many others suffered for the cause. For example, John Bunyan, who lived between 1628 and 1688, he was the author of Pilgrim's Progress. He suffered in an English jail for many years because, as a Baptist pastor, he would not accept limits on religious liberty. Coming to America, pre-colonial times, or colonial times, I'm talking about pre-Declaration of Independence times, in the colonial America, Roger Williams, He lived from 1603 to 1683. He was persecuted on American soil for his views on religious liberty. In January of 1636, he fled Massachusetts and took refuge with Indian friends. And in the spring, he founded the colony of Rhode Island with the guarantee of liberty of conscience for all citizens. He also helped establish the first Baptist church in the Western Hemisphere. Roger Williams. That was the first place in colonial America where religious liberty was practiced. It was a scarce commodity throughout the New World in those days. And so the Baptists all up and down the eastern seaboard in the colonies, they fought for religious liberty. They preached religious liberty. They taught the scripture and how God has given us this liberty. And as a result, many of them were beaten, publicly flogged and imprisoned and fined by government officials because of their preaching on religious liberty. Imagine that right here in America before the Declaration of Independence. There's a man by the name, a Baptist pastor by the name of Obadiah Holmes, and another Baptist pastor, John Clark, and a John Crandall, in 1651, they made a trip from Newport, Massachusetts, to Lynn, Massachusetts. They went to visit a member of their church who was sick and unable to come to church, unable to travel. And while visiting in Lynn, the three men had gathered a small group together at their member's house, and John Clark preached to the group of people gathered there in this home. Later in that evening, while they were having the service, they were arrested by authorities in the city for their religious belief and activity. Because in that town, the Congregationalists had control and they did not allow religious liberty. They would not allow people the choice of being a Baptist or any other thing. They were forced to be Congregationalists. Obadiah and his companions had a trial in Boston a week later. A court found the three men guilty of a half a dozen crimes of heresy, and they fined John Clark 20 pounds, John Crandall 5 pounds, and Obadiah Holmes 30 pounds. Now, this is a lot of money back then. I read that Obadiah Holmes, when he died, that all of his entire estate was worth about 130 pounds. They were wanting 30 pounds for a fine of 30 pounds. This was extreme punishment upon these men. Friends of Clark and Crandall paid their fines, but Obadiah Holmes refused to let friends pay his as a matter of principle. So on July 31st, 1651, a magistrate sentenced Obadiah Holmes to 30 lashes, one for each pound that he owed. So on September 5th, he was stripped to the waist, taken to the town's whipping post, and publicly flogged, which resulted in his shoes being filled with his own blood. This was a Baptist pastor who simply took a stand on religious liberty, of his right to visit a member and in their home to be able to share what they believed and practice what they believed. You know, he said during the time that he was beaten, it was said that he said, "You have struck me as with roses." And he claimed that he had no pain during the time that he was beaten. But later documents say that for weeks he was unable to rest on his back after the beating. and he bore these scars all the way to the time of his death. But Obadiah Holmes, he returned to Newport, Rhode Island, and the First Baptist Church there, where he became the pastor after John Clark left for England in 1651. Obadiah would remain the pastor of this church for the next 30 years until the time of his death. But because of his cruel punishment, King Charles II, this is after King James, King Charles II, now remember, Pastor John Clark went back to England. Well, King Charles granted Pastor John Clark permission to write the Charter of Rhode Island in 1663. Now listen, this is before 1776, the Declaration of Independence, almost 100 years before. And so he was able to write the Charter of Rhode Island, and this is the first document. I want you to listen. The first document in America granting religious freedom to any who resided there. And the basis, and this document served as the basis for religious freedom in our current U.S. Constitution. It was a Baptist pastor that wrote this. You know, while our nation was born and declared independence on July 4th, 1776, the U.S. Constitution was not created until 11 years later, on September 17, 1787. It was ratified in the next year on June 21st, 1788. Now, the Constitution of the United States, when it was first written, there were some flaws with it. It didn't include religious liberty. Some people don't know that. Some Americans are not aware of that. But when it was first written, it did not include the guarantee of religious freedom. And so later, it was amended under James Madison's leadership to provide that guarantee of religious freedom. It was through the efforts of Baptist leaders such as Isaac Backus in New England and John Leland in Virginia, along with other Baptist voices, that this call to religious liberty was finally heeded. And history reports that John Leland, he met with James Madison under an oak tree in Orange County, Virginia, and secured Madison's pledge to work for an amendment to the new Constitution to provide religious freedom. So Pastor John Leland, a Baptist, influenced James Madison. And not only James Madison, but history says he also influenced Thomas Jefferson. So because of these Baptist pastors' efforts, for the first time in history, America provided full religious freedom for its citizens. Based on that simple summary of history, and there's more out there, I say to you tonight, though, the men who won our religious freedom in America were Baptist pastors. And some of them suffered for it. One of the great Baptist preachers in the last century, George W. Truett, he was the pastor at a First Baptist Church in Dallas. In 1920, he delivered a sermon on the steps of the United States Capitol. As he stood there preaching to some 10 to 15,000 people, he summed up what most Baptists believe about religious liberty. This is what he said. It is the natural and fundamental and indefeasible right of every human being to worship God or not, according to the dictates of his conscience. And as long as he does not infringe upon the rights of others, he is to be accountable alone to God, or be held accountable alone to God for all religious beliefs and practices. Our contention is not for mere toleration, but for absolute liberty. Toleration is a gift from man, while liberty is a gift from God. God wants free worshipers and no other kind. Pastor George Truett, of First Baptist Church in 1920. I want to say that Baptists have historically believed that people should not be forced to worship God. Back in history, we were the only group that believed that. We believe in separation of church and state. We don't believe that the state should control or govern the church. Neither do we believe that the church should govern the state. They are separate. Baptists have been champions of this kind of liberty, religious freedom, not just for Christians, but for all people. You know, today, people that celebrated last month, Pride Month, they had that liberty to do that because of Baptist pastors that stood for freedom. We may not agree, and I don't agree with it, with flaunting sin and doing it pridefully in public. I don't think it's good at all, and God certainly frowns upon it. It'd be true as if anybody had adultery Pride Month. You know, that'd be just as bad. I mean, we shouldn't be proud about sin and flaunt it out there in the public. But we have today freedom because God has given us freedom to worship Him or not. You know, we as Baptists tonight, we need to thank God for our religious liberty. It's a blessing. It gives us the privilege to be here tonight. Aren't you glad we didn't have to come in here or meet somewhere secret, a hidden place like some do in China and other parts of the world, where every week they have to meet in a different location? It's not disclosed. It's secret. And the members of the church have to come to church in the middle of the night, one at a time. They can't come in groups. They can't arouse any suspicion. They have to come one at a time, and then those people have to wait until everybody finally comes. It may be hours before they can have a service because it takes time for everybody to get there. And then for them to get there, to stay there all night and worship God and get taught in the Word of God. I read a book about a pastor that actually had a privilege of being in one of these secret churches, and it'd be fascinating to visit one. But, you know, he said that he had gone through a survey of the New Testament. In other words, he pretty much summarized the entire New Testament from Matthew to Revelation. And it took him like 3, 4, 5 hours. I can't remember, but it took him quite a few hours just to accomplish that task. After he was done, they were like, "What about the Old Testament?" You know, they wasn't like American Baptists. Let's see, it's been way over an hour. Yeah. And we got to get home. We got other things to do. We got the ball game to go watch. We got our movies and all those to go see. And no, these people, they were hungry for the Word. And so then he had to stop and go back for Genesis and give an overview from Genesis to Malachi. They spent the entire night in the Word of God, and those people sit there attentive, listening, taking notes the entire time. Maybe it might be good for us to lose our religious freedom. To see really who's going to come to church. Who's going to stand. You know, my driving point tonight is this. We have this freedom. Let's exercise it. Amen. Let's serve God. It's sad that people, though they have the freedom, they don't have any persecution, but yet they won't come to church faithfully. Yeah, they won't share the gospel with their neighbor or somebody at work. They're afraid of it. We need to exercise our liberty. Get involved in church. Get busy winning people to Christ. You know, another thing we can do as Christians is vote for those that would uphold our freedoms. You know, the problem with the blessing of religious freedom is that when it's taken for granted, it can become a curse. It's like a child that was reared up on a trust fund and never had to work, never learning the true value of money. You know, many Americans have no concept how precious and unique is our religious liberty as Americans. And taking it for granted, they fail to protect it against the tide of secularism, globalism, that is swiftly taking over our country. You know, the Baptists in the early colonial America, they fought for it. What about us? Are we going to just let the secularists take over? Are we going to just let them take away all of our freedom? Are we not going to lift up our voice? Are we not going to vote? Are we not going to exercise our rights? Or are we just going to be silent? As Christians, we must let our voice be heard. We must be salt and light in our culture. We have that responsibility given to us by God. We have true liberty in Christ. As I read in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do you have that liberty tonight? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you been set free from your sin? You know, Jesus said that, you know, the Son of Man, He can set us free from our sin in John chapter 8. If you don't know Him, now would be a good time to have liberty from sin. Not just the guilt of sin, the penalty of sin. You know what the penalty of sin is? Death and hell forever. Right. I'm glad to be free from that. Amen. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad that I've been set free from that. But so many around us don't have that freedom. They don't know Christ. We as Christians, we need to rise up. We need to get involved. We need to share the gospel because our time is running out. Right. I want you to stand with me tonight, and we're going to pray, and we're going to open up a time for invitation, a time for you to respond to what God has spoken to you about tonight, whether it's the need for salvation, freedom from sin and its guilt and its penalty, or if you need to surrender your life to serve Him, to answer that call, to be like our Baptist forefathers. Would you be willing to sacrifice like these Baptist forefathers did to give us religious liberty? Would you be willing to do that, to preserve our liberty as Americans by letting your voice be heard? Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for not only our heritage we have as Americans, but we thank you for the heritage we have as Baptists. Lord, so many people are ignorant of history. But Lord, it's a blessing if we could go back and read history and see what took place and get the facts and to learn about our religious freedom as Americans and where it came from and what it cost men's lives and as they were willing to stand and willing to be beaten, imprisoned, ridiculed, just so that every man and woman and child could have the liberty to worship God as they pleased. Not to be forced, but to allow their conscience to dictate, to allow the scriptures to guide them. Lord, we thank you for these 200 plus years that we've had religious liberty as Americans. Lord, it's a great privilege we have. And Lord, I know that because of this religious freedom that we've enjoyed, the gospel light has gone across the world. Missionaries have gone to countries where there is no religious freedom, and people have found freedom in Christ. Lord, we thank you that we have this privilege today, and though it seems that we're losing it very quickly, Lord, help us to, as Christians, to stand. Help us to exercise our religious liberties, to worship you, to serve you, to proclaim the gospel. And Father, tonight, if there's someone here that does not know Christ as their Savior, I pray that tonight that they would come to Jesus, put their faith and their trust in Him alone for salvation. Father, we thank you that your Son died on the cross. He was buried, He rose again to pay and purchase for us eternal life, a place in heaven. Lord, we give you the glory for that. Bless this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.